This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. I can hear fish jumping behind me, and if you get lucky you might see one, and if you see one of them come out of the water heading for me, then warn me so I can get out. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gave us this beautiful religion and sent us His beloved messenger, His Rasul, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the last and final of them, and made us among the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, is the final messenger of Allah, and that after him there is no messenger and no Rasul. Now this is very important, because it is thanks to the fact that we are the people of the last messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have been given some special tasks which people before us had not been given. All the people who came before us, they came with the instruction and the order to obey the messenger who had been sent to them. So the people of Nuh alayhi salam, inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi. Allah said, verily we have sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people. Musa alayhi salam is sent to the Bani Israel. Isa alayhi salam is also sent to the Bani Israel to reinforce and remind the people of the message of Musa alayhi salam. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Saleh alayhi salam to his qawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Lut alayhi salam to his qawm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Hud alayhi salam to his qawm, to his people. Every Nabi was sent to a certain group of people, to a certain country, to a certain locality, to a certain city or town, except the last one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a guidance and as a rahmah and as a mercy to everyone everywhere. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah said, we have not sent you as anything other than mercy for all the worlds, for the whole earth and for the whole universe, whoever, wherever, whatever that might be. Now, why is that important? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the son of any of the men among you. Right? And he is the last of the Anbiya and the seal of the Prophets. Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He is the seal of the Prophets. Last of the Rasul. Now, why is that important for us to understand, to accept? And of course, we do accept that. Because to make this very clear, the Nubuwwat has ended, prophethood has ended, the need for guidance has not ended. Prophets came to guide. All the Anbiya alayhi salam, they came to guide people towards Allah, to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his slaves, to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creatures, and to guide his slaves about how they should live their lives in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose, this is the reason why all the Anbiya alayhimu salam came. Without exception, there is no Nabi, there is no Rasul who came for anything other than this. They all came to guide us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to guide us to live our lives the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live our lives. So the need for guidance remains, but the silsila or the sequence of guides has ended with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, the job of guiding, because we are the ummah, we are the people of the last of the guides, the job of guiding has been given to us. So with all the other people of all the other anbiya, they had one job, which is to obey their Nabi. We have two jobs, which is to obey our Nabi and to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the rest of the world. To invite the world also to obey the Nabi. Invite, not force. We are not talking about force. No Nabi forced. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not force, and we don't force. We only invite. We only show them this beautiful scene. For example, I am sitting here in this beautiful place, and I'm asking you, would you like to come? Please come. Please come. Would you like to come here? Would you like me to show you how you can be here with me? How you can come to this place? Jannatin tajri min tahtihal anhar, gardens under which rivers flow. Do you want to come there? Do you want to go there? I want to go there, inshallah. Ask Allah to put me there. Do you want to be with me in that place? When I'm not inviting you to be with me in Jannah, I'm inviting you to be with Rasulullah sallallahu in Jannah. But I'm saying every single Muslim has this job of saying that inshallah I ask Allah to put me in Jannah and I want you to come with me. This is the job of the Muslim. So we have got two jobs. One, to live our lives according to the way of Rasulullah, and two, to invite others to do the same. Now why must I live my life according to Nabi and then invite, or simultaneously? But I mean, why can't I just do that? Right? It's like saying, I'm smoking, but I'm telling others, don't smoke. Smoking is injurious to health. Smoking gives you lung cancer. Smoking gives you all kinds of heart disease. Smoking gives you all sorts of problems. What you're doing with smoking is you are paying to buy a miserable death. So don't do that. Do not smoke. But I'm saying all of this to you while I'm puffing away on a cigarette. Now, how credible is that? How credible is that? That's the reason why it is important and essential that we live our lives according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we also invite people. I'm not saying necessarily that I have to live my life perfectly according to the sunnah, and only when I am perfect then I am going to invite people, because that's never going to happen. I will never be perfect, you will never be perfect, nobody else will ever be perfect. We can only try, and inshallah we will try. But our life cannot become perfect on that. If we wait for that, then we will not be able to do the job of inviting. So let's simultaneously do both. Let's try our best and invite people, inshallah. We ask Allah to make it easy for us to do these two things. So my brothers and sisters, living Islam, we are talking about, and these lessons that we do. Why living Islam? Because this is the most credible way of inviting to Islam. Most credible way of inviting to Islam. You know, if you take advertising, for example, any advertising of anything which is experiential, how is it done? It's done through by giving people a sample. If I'm selling perfume, right? If I'm selling perfume, do you think I will make a beautiful PowerPoint presentation about my perfume? Or do you think I'll make a movie about this perfume? Is it possible to make a movie about a perfume? What is the most effective way of selling the perfume? Is to walk around the room with the perfume bottle and say, please try some. I'm sure many of us have seen, today we travel so much. Many of us have, this has happened to us. You go into Dubai airport, or you go into any mall anywhere where there are perfume shops, people are selling aftershaves and deodorants and perfumes. You will find there are shop attendants who are standing in the aisles, just outside the shop, with the can of perfume or with the bottle of perfume or with little strips on which have been impregnated with this perfume, and they give you that little strip, or they tell you, would you like to try this out? And you put your hand out and they spray it and you smell it, or they spray it on your clothes, whatever, right? Why do they do that? Have you ever seen one of them giving a lecture on this perfume? Because the best way to sell perfume is to let people experience the beautiful aroma of that perfume. Islam is a perfume. You want people to pay attention to Islam, show them Islam. Don't talk about Islam. Today we have reached a point where the world is sick of listening to people talking about Islam. I really believe this. People have got tired of this. Enough. Don't go on saying Islam means this, Islam means that, Islam. If it means all of that and you are a Muslim, then show it to me. Show it to me. Do it and show it. So let us get into this habit of showing Islam to people by practicing it ourselves. And that's why we say living Islam. That's the most effective way of showing Islam, is by our own, is through our own lives. Now, we are following this book called Living Islam, which is also available on the internet and so on. You are welcome to get it. It's all free. Everything is free. Alhamdulillah. So feel free to read the free book. Inshallah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned among His blessings, and Allah said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَجَارِ ذِي الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayat of Surah An-Nisa, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now count this out. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate anyone with Him, and associate nothing with Him. And be good to parents, and be good to your relatives, near and far. Be good to orphans. Be good to the needy. Be good to the near neighbor and the neighbor further away. Be good to the companion at your side, and be good to the traveler, and be good to those over whom you have authority, those whom your right hand possesses. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful. Right? Now, look at this beautiful ayat al-karima, and let us see what it is telling us to do. And let us try to do what it is telling us to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted out these things. First and foremost is that we acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul, is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is the last and final of them, after whom there is no other Rasul and no other Messenger. So this is the first thing. I acknowledge this, I say this with my tongue, and I practice this in my actions, which means that when the time for Salah comes, I don't postpone it, I don't delay it, I don't say, oh, I'm busy, I don't say, well, I will do it sometime in this lifetime. No, I will. The moment the time for Salah comes, I stand up and I pray. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells me to do something, I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When what Allah has made halal and permissible, I practice that and I thank Allah for it. What Allah has made haram and impermissible, I leave it far away. I don't go into that. I don't argue unnecessarily, I don't waste my time, I spend as much time as I can in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is through salah, whether it is through tilawatil Qur'an, whether it is through the different kinds of azkar that we do, whether it is by sending salat and salam on his Habib, on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is in admiring the glory and majesty of the creation of Allah, whatever be the way, other than and outside of the fard cannot be substituted by something else. The fard has to be done at its correct time in that particular way. But other than the fard, then I do all of these things. Therefore, I try to spend my whole life in a state of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Him for all His blessings. So this is the first part of saying that Allah told us that La tushrik billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not join anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not join yourself with Allah. Do not join any makhluk of Allah. Because other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything else is makhluk. So don't join the Prophet with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Allah. Do not join the malaika, the angels with Allah. Do not join any celestial bodies, the sun, moon, whatever with Allah. Do not join, superstitions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Good luck, bad luck, whatnot. Do not join your theories and your, things that you invent, all of these vastu and feng shui and, all of that nonsense. Do not join all of this stuff with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not join anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, do not worship anyone or anything other than Allah, and do not seek help from anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is critical, this is essential, this is something which is absolutely critical to us as being Muslims. There, the guy is going fishing. So that's the first part of it, which is not to join anyone in partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, be good to parents. Now, this is a question which many people sometimes ask me. They said, my parents are not good to me. And may Allah protect us. This is sadly the reality that we face in life. Sometimes really seriously, I look at some people and I say that I wish this person had been an orphan. This person would have been better off if both their parents had died, immediately after they were born. Because this person's parents are a source of misguidance. Now, many parents are toxic in different ways. Some are toxic because of their abuse, because they fight with each other, they abuse each other, they abuse their children, create politics within the family. They try to set off one child against the other. They do all kinds of evil things. May Allah protect us from ourselves. Because we are these parents. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about people like you and me. They're not like me, because Allah has freed me from children. But if you have children, then this is you are a parent. And whether you are a good parent or a bad parent depends on you. And believe me, don't think that just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the rights of parents and Allah has told children, be good to parents, be good to parents, please do not think that this means that you are free from questioning and that it's only the children who have to answer. Believe me, your neck will be in a noose before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do not change yourselves. If you are toxic, then stop being toxic. So that's some parents are toxic like this. You will have parents, people, fathers or mothers screaming and raving and ranting and profanity and cursing and all kinds of stuff in the house, and the children are exposed to that day in and day out. The children, some of them get into all kinds of psychological problems because of the kind of parents they have. So toxic parents. Some other parents are toxic in a different way, which is that they are, within quotes, very kind, meaning that they give in to everything the child wants. Now, believe me, that is equal, if not more toxic. So they just buy them stuff. They are trying to compensate for improper parenting, and therefore they just think that if I throw enough stuff and money and gadgets at the child, toys, then I am fine. My parenting is great because my child is very happy. But remember, a child is happy because the child's nafs is satisfied, because the child's desires are satisfied. That's it. And that is why we have this amazing situation today, where we have children of super rich parents who are suffering from depression. Now, I have a friend who's got a consulting practice doing this. He consults with and he tries to help the children of super rich parents. One day he tells me there is this girl in Delhi, this daughter of this super rich father, and he says that this girl is, he got this distress call, so he went, and she was, you know, on the point of committing suicide. And he said, why are you doing that? She said, because my dad gave me a sports Mercedes SL yesterday. So this father gives her a sports Mercedes car, a sports coupe, and this girl wants to commit suicide. Right? I mean, I don't even understand how this works, but this is a reality. Another friend of a friend, I was told that this lady, her mother died. So this friend went to pay condolences, and as they were sitting there in her house, again super rich. So my friend says, I'm extremely sorry at your loss and so on. And she says that this girl, the daughter of the mother who passed away, she looked completely unperturbed, as if nothing had happened. So she said, I found that a bit strange in the first place. But anyway, I said, since I've gone there to... since I've gone there to give my condolences, so I said, I'm very sorry this happened, and so on and so forth. This girl said, it really doesn't matter. I said, what? I mean, your mother died, it doesn't matter? He said, yeah, because she was never there for me anyway. So how does it matter? So this friend says, what do you mean? He says, I was brought up by governesses. I was brought up by my governess. I was brought up by this lady who looked after me. I mean, I live in this massive house. I've got, there's a car for me. There's a driver for me. When I was old enough to get a license, I could drive my own car. I could literally buy any car I wanted. I have all the money I want. I can go anywhere, I can buy any stuff, thing I want. But what I want is my mother. I want my mother to be with me. And my mother is not with me. So she said, now she died. So what difference does it make? When she was alive, it was as if she was dead, because she wasn't here anyway. Busy with her kitty parties, busy with her club, busy with her friends. Parents are toxic in many ways. But my point here is this. Of course, if you are a toxic parent, stop being toxic. Or answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Believe me, you will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa mashallah. So don't put yourself in that position. You were sent for a purpose. You were sent for the tarbiyah, for the raising of your children. You are not sent just to produce. You are not you are not the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing the number of his human species. And that's it. And your responsibility ends with that. You drop the baby and you can walk around and go eat some more grass. No. It's your responsibility to raise a good human being who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So please fulfill that duty. But having said that, as far as the children are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, be good to parents who are good to you. Be good to your parents. If they are good to you, alhamdulillah, you should be good to them. That is natural. But even if they are not good to you, still you be good to them. Now, this is what Islam teaches us. Islam does not teach us to be good to parents who are good to us only, but to be good to parents irrespective of what those parents are and how those parents are. As I said, that does not mean that parents have the license to be bad. No. But we must be good to our parents, no matter what kind of parents they are. So that is the point number two. Point number three is, Allah said, be good to your relatives. Now, it starts with the immediate circle, which is your siblings and your grandparents. So up and down, your siblings and your grandparents, your children, then further. So it's your children and your parents, your children, your siblings, your grandparents, and then your uncles and aunts, and so on and so on. And the circle expands to all those who are related to you. Be good to them. The simplest way to be good to somebody is to phone or write a letter or write an email and say, how are you? I hope you are well. Just ask yourself this question. Just ask yourself this question. How many of your relatives in the last 6 months, especially I'm saying 6 months because this 6 months has been very difficult for everybody on the face of the earth. People have been locked down. People have been confined to their homes. People have been confined in some cases to homes which are very small in congested localities. Right? It's been a very difficult time. And then elderly people, old people who were used to having somebody come in and help them and so on and so forth, all of that stopped, domestic help stopped. So they've had to, work more than what they had ever done in their lives. For some of them, it was very difficult. Now, in that time, in that 6 months period, last 6 months, ask yourself, how many of you phoned that uncle of yours, that aunt of yours, that cousin of yours, that grandparent of yours, and asked about them? How are you? I hope you're well. I hope this corona is not, becoming too difficult for you. Did you do that? If you did not do that, then as soon as this lecture is over, as soon as you finish watching this, if you are watching it live, then wait until it finishes. If you are not watching it live, then stop it here, pick up your phone, call your relative, call your aunt or uncle or grandparent or sibling or whoever of your relatives that you have not called, call them and speak to them. Be careful, or we live in widely dispersed places on earth, so don't call somebody in the middle of the night. But keeping to the timing, call them and do it now. Don't even wait for 5 minutes. Call them now. Ask them, how are you doing? How's everything? Is everything well with you? Are you okay? I'm giving you some specific thing to do. It's not just important to say, I should be good to my relatives. What is the meaning of good to my relatives? Begins with this. At least inquire, are you alive? Have you died? What's the problem? Simple, just find out. Just call and ask, how are you? If you have received anything good from them, thank them. Thank you very much for what you are doing for us. Thank you very much for what you sent me. I request you for your dua. People, even that, they say it as if it's, please make dua for me. Why should I make dua for you? Please make dua for me. I'm your servant or something, I'm your slave. Make dua for you. I will not make dua for you. Hamare Hyderabad mein bolte tha, kya ukhad leta re mera? Nahi karta, kya karta? Seriously, think about that. Even to request for dua, do that humbly, man. I request you for your dua. Please make dua for me. I request you for your dua. Make dua for me. Don't forget me in your dua. Is it a hukam or something? Speak to people nicely. Speak to people kindly. Speak to people with humility. So call them. Minimum being good to somebody is to call them and find out how they're doing. Then do more than that. Send them something, order something. Amazon is still delivering, so order something from Amazon for them. Do whatever you can do in the scope of your authority, in the scope of your capability. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, number three, worship Allah, don't make shirk. Number two, be good to parents, be good to relatives, then be good to orphans. A special mention of orphans. So who are the people that you know? And by orphans, it's meant small children. I mean, I'm an orphan by that definition because both my parents have died. But I mean, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about young children. Young children who do not have parents, be especially good to them. And then Allah said, be good to the needy. Now, subhanAllah, again, this thanks to this corona, people who were, one of my very dear friends, she said to me, people who would not, I know some people who, even in their wildest imagination, they would not have imagined that they would stand in a line to receive zakat. They are having to do that. People's lives have completely, you know, we are very far, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind and blessed on us and on all those whose lives. The biggest so-called problem is that we are in lockdown. Other than that, our fridges, our refrigerators and freezers are full of food. We have every conceivable, comfort that we can imagine. We have not lost our jobs. Many of us are sitting at home and getting paid for that. Companies are paying them. Governments are paying them in many cases. The state is paying them. Food is coming to the houses of people in some countries. In the UK, elderly people, they have been sent menus of food. You know, halal food, Asian food, European food, and so on and so forth. And they can pick, and the US Army, British Army delivers the food to them. Cooked food, hot cooked food is delivered to elderly, older people, especially those living alone, by the government. 80% of their salaries, which they used to earn before the lockdown, 80% of the salary is paid to them by the government. There are governments and governments, believe me. This is what the British government is doing for them, and I'm sure the similar stories are there from many of the at least the European nations. Many of the Arab countries are doing the same thing. I know this for a fact that many of the Arab countries they have given a lot of support. Alhamdulillah, a lot of Muslims, and this is the point I want to make, which is that NGOs and individuals have gone out of their way, and I'm very, very, very happy that many of them are Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah bless the Muslims who are focused on this and who have been doing their best to help those in need. Alhamdulillah, many of them are Muslims who have gone out of their way. They've really, it's amazing the amount of good work that people, individuals, NGOs, and as I said, Muslims are in the forefront of this, alhamdulillah, who have helped people who were in need. One of the biggest massive tragedies, living tragedies, was the treatment and the difficulty of the so-called migrant labor in India. This term itself is, these people, the wordsmiths, they invent these terms. These were not migrant labor. They didn't migrate to some place from somewhere else. These were Indian citizens. Just because they are poor, it doesn't mean that they are not citizens. But they were stranded far away from their hometowns, far away from their villages, in different cities of the country where they had been working, some in construction work, some in services, some in manufacturing, and so on and so forth. They were completely stranded, and literally they had no food and so on. And these people were provided massive assistance by individual people. By Muslims, by Hindus, by Christians, by Sikhs, by others, by all kinds of people. And alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to say that Muslims were in the forefront of that, and I'm very, very happy about that. So people were given, people who were needy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, help those who are in need. This is specific to, and again, as I mentioned here, as far as the orphans is concerned, as far as relatives are concerned, as far as even including parents, for example, being good to parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say be good to Muslim parents. I mean, there are many people whose parents, one or both, are not Muslim. There are many people who have converted or reverted to Islam, but their parents are not Muslim. Now, how does that person treat their parents? Allah said, be good to them. Oh, but they don't worship Allah. It doesn't matter. You be good to them. It's not about them. It's about you. What is my dalil for saying this? The dalil is Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, our mother, the wife of Rasulullah. She was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Later on, he became a Muslim, and we say Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. But the time when I'm talking about, he was the chief enemy of Rasulullah. Not just one of them, he was the number one of them. He was the head of Quraysh, and this is after Badr and so on. So Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and so on had been killed, they were dead. Abu Sufyan was the leader of the army that came to Uhud, the Battle of Uhud. And he was the leader of the army which came in the Battle of Khandaq. So Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Allah, the enemy of Rasulullah, his daughter was married to Rasulullah Umm Habiba radiallahu anha. Now the story is that Abu Sufyan, after Sulh Hudaybiyah, there was a peace treaty between the Muslims and the Quraysh, which was supposed to be for a duration of 10 years. Now, within 2 years, the Quraysh broke the treaty. Less than 2 years, because after 2 years, we had Fatah Makkah. So before, in less than 2 years. So now, Abu Sufyan is very worried and concerned because this peace treaty has been broken. Now, therefore, Rasulullah ﷺ has a right to retaliate. So he came to Medina to meet the Prophet ﷺ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there, so Abu Sufyan went to his daughter's house, to Umm Habiba's house, radiallahu anha. So as he entered her house and he was about to sit, there was the bed of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, the platform or the cot. And as he was about to sit, Umm Habiba, radiallahu anha, she folded up the bed of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abu Sufyan, partly jokingly, he was very surprised, and I'm sure he was not pleasantly surprised, but partly jokingly he said, oh, you folded up the bed of your husband because it is not good enough for me to sit on, is it? Umm Habiba said, I folded up the bed of my husband because you are not good enough to sit on his bed. Now she's speaking to her father. Her father is a non-Muslim. Her father is an enemy of her husband, who is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Her father is an enemy of Islam. He is a stated, declared enemy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He came, led two wars. The purpose of that was to destroy the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, Allah protected them. So she's not, it's not just that she didn't like him. No. Not a question of like and dislike. Here is a man who's a known, avowed enemy. So she says to him, I folded the bed. And she's not even saying that first. She's in retaliation. He said, you folded up the bed because the bed is not good enough for me. He said, no, I folded up the bed because you are not good enough for that bed. Now, later, she mentioned this to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said to him, Ya Rasulullah, this is Abu Sufyan, my father had come, and this is what I said to him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was displeased. He said, do not say things like this to your father. Treat him with respect, because he is your father. No matter what he does or does not do, no matter his relationship with me, he is your father, so you treat him well. You treat him with honor. This is Islam. So Islam tells you to treat even the non-Muslim well. Islam tells you to do good to relatives, Muslim relatives or non-Muslim relatives. Islam tells us to be good to orphans, whether those orphans are Muslim or not Muslim. Today, alhamdulillah, the majority of orphans are Muslim, thanks to the all kinds of illegal wars that are being waged in Muslim countries. Then Allah said, be good to the needy, the one in need, Muslim or non-Muslim. Alhamdulillah, this is what so-called migrant labor crisis in India, this showed. And alhamdulillah, Muslims helped everybody. They helped non-Muslims, they helped anyone and everyone without any barriers or without any classifications. And then Allah said, be good to the near neighbor and the far neighbor. Now the Mufassirin have translated this, and they've said, the people of exegesis, they have said the near neighbor means Muslim, the far neighbor specifically means non-Muslim. This could also mean in terms of distance, near neighbor meaning the one nearest to you, and further away meaning the one further away from you. This could mean neighbor, near neighbor meaning the one living next to your house. The far neighbor could be anybody you meet anywhere on the street. Irrespective of that, the point I want to make is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be good to people no matter whether they are Muslim or not Muslim. It is not about them, it is about you. It is about your behavior to them. And then Allah said, be good to the companion at your side, which is self-explanatory, and be good to the traveler if you are traveling, or if there is a traveler, meaning if there is a traveler, any traveler away from his country, away from his place, is in a vulnerable situation. So Islam says, help them in whichever way. And be good to those who are in your control, under your authority, those whom your right hand possesses. Now, right hand possesses does not, in the days when they were prisoners of war who were kept as slaves, it meant them. But right hand possesses, right hand is symbolic for control, for authority. So right hand possesses means anyone who is under your authority. Allah is saying, be good to them. Be good to all of these people. Right? So this is Islam. And remember, and think and imagine, that if I live my life where I am good, and in this ayat Allah described my entire environment, everyone around me, all levels, close to me, related to me, living in my vicinity, somebody I might occasionally come into contact with, someone with whom I have a transaction, someone who I may not even know, a complete total stranger, but who is in need, so I help him. Anyone in this whole framework is somebody about whom I have been said, be good to them. Now imagine if I live my life like that. What's going to happen to me? I'm not even talking about the ajr and the reward that Allah will give me, inshallah, that is assured. I am talking about in this world, what kind of feeling do you think will be there for somebody like that? That person will become automatically the most beloved, the most popular, the most influential, by reference obviously, person ever, because of their behavior. This is the power of practicing Islam. My brothers and sisters, I invite you and I ask you to think about this, and to once again, like I mentioned in the case of being good to relatives, phone the relatives, once again make this whole list and say in each of these, what is it that I can do in order to fulfill what Allah told me? And then watch the fun. See how beautiful you feel. See how beautiful you make others feel. As a result of that, enjoy the benefit of that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.